Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 11 of Seeking Witchcraft. As always, I am your host, Ashley, and today we're going to be having a little bit more of a social episode slash a little bit more of just talking about random witch facts and discussions. So what I mean by a social episode, so when I first created this podcast, I did it with the intent that the first episode that I did, I didn't want it to be this huge ass introduction about like who I am, because I was just thinking that if I was listening to a podcast, I didn't really want to spend, you know, 20 minutes listening to a person just talk about themselves, because I was listening to the podcast for whatever the purpose was of it, you know. But I have 10 episodes down, and you know, I've been able to interact with some really cool people through my podcast, which has been an amazing experience. And I figure, you know what, like, it's been a little bit of time. I think I can probably do a social episode so people kind of know where I'm coming from and my background. And yeah, so that we're going to do that. If you're not into that, you don't really care, which no offense here, or I'm not going to be offended by that at all. Feel free to just skip ahead maybe like 10 minutes or so, and we'll go from there. Because I am going to talk about other witchy stuff later today. Like, I have some more circle etiquette and things of that nature, like using different supplies and stuff that I'm going to talk about. But yeah, I'm going to kind of just let this be an organic conversation and just going to talk and see where we end up after a half hour or so. Okay, so we'll start with the social part of it. Yay. So first things first, I'm actually a little sick right now. So if my voice sounds a little off, or, you know, you hear me sniffling in the background, that's just me being sick. But it's actually okay. I am sick because I went to, you can call it a witch camp up in the mountains last weekend, and I caught a cold from being up there and, you know, camping in the mountains, but it was totally worth it. It was a really, really awesome time. It was a time where a bunch of people in my tradition, we all got together in a undisclosed location, and we just had a weekend being witches and meeting the fam, and I had an absolute blast, and I wish I was there. I can't believe it's already been a week since quote-unquote witch camp. Yeah, so I'm sick, but it was totally worth it, and I would totally do it again. Okay, so yeah, so speaking of that, I guess we'll start with a little bit more about my background or tradition. So, okay, I was raised, I was raised very strictly Catholic growing up, and I have a very Catholic family. All my family went to Catholic school, and not just, you know, elementary school and up. They also went to Catholic colleges, all of them except me. So I was raised in a very Catholic household, but from a very, very young age, I was legitimately in the second grade. I got involved in witchcraft, and I had a friend, you know, it was kind of simple. I had a friend come to school one day, and she was like, "Hey, Ashley, I became a witch last night." And that was like it for me. I was like, "Oh my God, I want to be a witch too." And it kind of just took off from there. And my friend and I, we used to talk about like, oh, how we would recharge our powers, quote unquote. And for me, like, we lived in an apartment complex where when you would fill the bathtub up, the water always looked kind of blue in comparison to the white of the tub. So I used to joke to her and be like, "Well, when I take baths, like, that's where I get my water." And I thought I was special because the water would be blue for me in the bathtub. But that's just how the water looked because it was city water. And yeah, I don't know. So my family was very, very, very against it. You know, a second grade child looking so strongly into witchcraft. And actually, I remember I used to go on the family computer and look up, you know, how to be a witch online. And I was so young that I remember seeing links for something called witchcraft. And bless my poor little heart, but like, when I was a kid, I used to think like, oh, that's just how to do arts and crafts for like witch masks and, you know, using construction paper and things like that. And oh my gosh, looking back, it's so innocent and so cute. But yeah, so I got involved at a very young age, but because I grew up in such a Catholic household and such a religious household, I guess, in total, my family was totally against it. So I really had to hide my practice. So I spent many, many, many years being inactive, but always having that twinkling of, I really want to get back to witchcraft. I really want to get back into the witchy mindset. You know, I actually had an experience younger than that when I was a child, and I mean like a tiny, tiny little kid. I had this mark on my index finger, like just like a little birthmark. And one of my earliest memories looking at that birthmark was I said to myself, oh my gosh, that's a witch's mark. And if people see it, like they're going to try to like get me. So I actually like took it off myself as a child, which was obviously not great. Yeah. So I don't know. I've always kind of had like this witchy mindset since I was a little kid. And I think it's just a certain type of person who gets drawn to this type of background or whatever. So yeah, that's a little bit more of my background. And then as I got older, when I started living by myself, I kind of came to this realization like, oh shoot, like my family's not around. I can start to practice witchcraft again. So I started looking more things up, and I actually did a ritual, or spell, I guess you can say, to kind of dedicate myself to the practice. Now I made this spell up myself. And during the spell, I proclaimed to the energies or the spirits or whoever, because I didn't really know exactly who I was sending this to, that I wanted help getting involved, and I wanted a teacher, and I wanted somebody to bring me into this craft. Now, that was cool and all, and I was like really hoping for that, but I honestly wasn't expecting it, you know? So fast forward a couple months, fast forward a couple months, I was in a random beginner witch Facebook group, and I, oh my gosh, long story short, my family was home visiting me, and my mom was driving the car, and I took these pictures of these clouds that were up in the sky while I was on the highway, because they look like faces. And like, I don't really think like, oh my gosh, I saw like, you know, the freaking God in the sky, or like I saw the moon, you know, like I don't really think about anything like that. But I had these really cool pictures that look like legitimate faces in the sky, and I really wanted to post them somewhere, and I didn't want to put it on my news feed because I was like, eh, whatever. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it in this beginner witch Facebook group, because people post random things in there all the time, and I'm about to just be one of those people. So I posted these pictures in the group, and I kept it up there. And when I posted it, there was a geotag saying my location where the pictures were taken. So I actually went back into the post to edit it and take it out, but I couldn't figure out how to remove the geotag. So I was like, you know what, screw it, whatever, it's not a big deal. And I left the pictures up. 3 days later, and you got to keep in mind, there was like 20,000 plus people in this Facebook group. So posts are like constantly getting bumped down because new posts are coming in. But 3 days later, this girl comments on the post, and she was like, hey, like I saw your geotag. Like, is that where you live? Like, what state is that? So fast forward, we end up hitting each other up. Turns out she lived literally down the freaking street from me, and she had just met with the training group for a coven that, brace yourself, I had actually emailed the year before and just never responded to them about joining their training group. So when she told me the name of them, I was like, oh, funny, because I've literally been in contact with them but just never got back. And she was like, well, I'm joining their group. It's starting in a couple weeks. Like, you should join. So I was like, man, all right. So I hit up the training group and I was like, hey. And I had my first meeting with them shortly after that. And, you know, fast forward a year or so later, and here I am initiated into the Gardnerian tradition. So it ended up being a crazy story that I had hit up this group, didn't respond, happened to post a random picture in a 20,000 plus member group on Facebook. This girl days later finds it, happened to be joining the same group I hit up, and convinced me to join. And this was just months after I did that spell, asking for some like help to bring me into this tradition. Synchronicity, guys, like it was crazy. Like we still talk about it sometimes. They're like, what are the chances of that happening? Because there's dozens and dozens and dozens of covens around where I live, because I happen to be in a heavily populated area. But man, guys, that was wild. Okay, so anyway, so that's a little bit more about my background. As you guys all know, I am an initiated first degree in the Gardnerian tradition. But anything I say on this podcast, as I've said before, is really just coming from my personal practice. It's not representative of the Gardnerian tradition. So don't think it's anything like that. Not only that, but the Gardnerian tradition itself is oath bound, meaning that I did have to take an oath to be a Gardnerian, and there are things in Gardnerian that can't be discussed unless you are a Gardnerian, which sounds so, I don't know, it doesn't sound great, but it's true, guys. And if you're wondering what those things are, you can do the training and become a Gardnerian if you find a coven you jive with. But yeah, speaking of Gardnerian, actually, and this podcast, there's some stuff I would love to share with you guys. So as of today, it is like the end of September 2019. It's almost October. I have hit over 30,000 plays on this podcast, which is wild. I am shook, guys. Like, oh my gosh, you guys are seriously so cool. I can't believe I have that many plays on this podcast, because to be honest, guys, when I started this, I started this podcast because I was just kind of bored one day in my living room, and I was like, I really feel like talking about witchcraft. I'm just going to make a podcast and see what happens. And I'd actually never listened to a podcast in my entire life. And here I am 30,000 plays later. I'm honestly so honored from this, guys. Like, it really means so much. And the amount of people who've hit me up, just like messaging me on Twitter or tweeting me, telling me that they have been trying to get involved in witchcraft and asking me for advice, or telling me that they've been in touch with a coven. Like, the fact that I've been able to play even the smallest role in anybody's journey, like even one person's journey, means the absolute world to me. And I'm so honored to be part of that for you guys. And this leads me into a crazy story that came out of this podcast that I've been excited to share with you guys. And I did get permission from the person who told me, so the name is okay to use in case you guys are like, oh man, I hope she asked somebody if she could share the story. But yes, I totally asked for permission and it's fine. So I'm going to back up here. This is a story involving this podcast, but you need to kind of understand the background of this. Okay. So when you are getting involved with the Gardnerian tradition, you are part of an outer court training group. So I've said this before one of my episodes, I believe it was in Tools and Terms. Outer court is when you're not initiated, but you're getting training to kind of have you understand how things go, you know, how to be in a ritual, how to be in a ritual mindset. You kind of get a feel for things, but you're not actually learning the inner court, which is the oath-bound material. You're kind of just getting the bones, I guess you could say. That being said, every coven is a little bit different how they do things, but that's generally how it is in Gardnerian from what my understanding is. So I was a seeker. So most people are a seeker for about a period of a year and a day. And then you become an inner court, and then, you know, you're part of inner court. So while I was a seeker, I missed one of my coven meetings to go to a music festival. And this music festival has a really, really, really big social media following, because the music festival only has a couple thousand people who can go every year. So everybody kind of like becomes friends, and we all have like a little name for each other. And it's a really big background. So I go to this music festival, make some really cool friends while I was there partying, come back home, and about, I don't know, maybe like 2-3 months after the music festival, it was a long story of how this was discovered, but long story short, I found out that one of the high priests in the Gardnerian tradition also went to this music festival. And get this, not only did he go to this music festival, but I was partying with his freaking friends and family at the music festival. So I found the other witch at the festival. I found the family members, but I didn't find the witch themselves. And I was like, dang it. So I hit up this high priest. And keep in mind, guys, I'm just a seeker in an outer court. I have not been initiated yet. you know, anything can happen where I could just not initiate. But whatever, I hit up this guy in inner court as an outer court member, and his name is Seamus, which he said I can share with you guys. So hey, Seamus, if you're listening, what's up? I hit up Seamus and I was like, hey, hi, I don't know you, but I went to I went to this music festival, and like, yeah, hello, we should be friends. So he messaged me back and he was like, oh my gosh, who are you training with? I'm going to have them initiate you stat. Like, you know, just joking, obviously. And we became friends online. And then a couple months later, also keep in mind, Seamus lives on the other side of the freaking country for me, literally the other side of the country. Okay. Like, he is far. Like, we did not have a chance to be meeting up anytime soon, especially cause I was only a seeker and he had been, you know, he's a high priest and he's been around the block with the Gardnerian tradition. Like, he's been around for a bit. So I actually just happened to be visiting where he lives. I was visiting family. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, I'm going to be out in your area. Like, let's meet up. So again, as a seeker, I met up with a high priest in the tradition and we got drinks and dinner and just had a really, really good time. And now we're friends. So that's how I know Seamus. So one day I was actually, this was a couple weeks ago, I want to say about 3-4 weeks ago, I was with Allison, who you'll recognize from my last 3 episodes. She helped me co-host. And we were hanging out. I took her to this downtown area in downtown, you know, where I live. And, cause she'd never been there, and we got lunch. We were like, let's walk around for a little bit, cause it's like a historic area. So we were walking around and all of a sudden I get a call from Seamus, like as soon as we start walking. Now Seamus and I, you know, we're friends, but like he doesn't call. So I was like, huh, why is he calling? So I answer the phone, and keep in mind, it's kind of noisy cause I'm outside and it's a Sunday. We're in like a touristy area. And I was like, hey, like, what's up? And the first thing he says is, do you have a podcast on Spotify named Seeking Witchcraft? And I was like, what? So here's the thing, guys. I don't really advertise this podcast to people. I mean, my coven knows, and I have like a couple friends who know, and you know, I've told some of my coworkers, and one of them has listened to my podcast. So hey, if you're listening, hello. But yeah, like I don't advertise this podcast really. Oh, except for also I put on witchy Facebook groups sometimes if people want suggestions. I'm like, listen to my podcast. But I don't advertise it to the Gardnerian community. Like, I mean, there's no reason why I haven't, but I just don't. So for him to call me and ask me that question was like, I was taken off guard. I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? Do I have a podcast? And I was like, yeah, how do you know about the podcast? Oh my freaking God. He's like, okay. So he tells me, hey, I am with a seeker right now at our seeker interview. So just to back up, when you are trying to join to the Gardnerian tradition, you have a interview that takes place. Actually, with almost any coven, you should have an interview that takes place where you can ask questions and they ask you questions. You get to know each other. So he had a seeker hit him up for an interview. And he was in the middle of that meeting. And I guess he asked the seeker, like, how did you find Gardnerian tradition or something along those lines? Apparently, the seeker, and if you're listening, hey, apparently the seeker turns to Seamus and says, oh, well, something along the lines of this, but says like, oh, I found out about Gardnerian from this podcast named Seeking Witchcraft on Spotify that's run by a Gardnerian girl named Ashley who lives by Baltimore. And Seamus was kind of like, what? And then he was like, huh, I think I know who you're talking about. And keep in mind, Seamus did not know about my podcast. So he called me and, you know, I was like, yeah, that's me. And he was like, holy shit. And then when he told me that he had a seeker who was literally meeting with him to try to join into the tradition because of my podcast, I was freaking shook, guys. Like, holy crap. That was wild to me. Like, I could not believe that, like, a seeker listened to, you know, me ramble for 10 episodes or so, and wanted to join the tradition that I was involved with and happened to be with my friend on the other side of the country. And yeah, so Seamus called me, and the seeker, like, he gave the phone to her and she started talking to me. And if you're listening to this, oh my gosh, girl, I was so shook. Like, I could barely process, and it was so loud. I just know the speaker was saying some really, really nice stuff to me about, like, my podcast, and I was just standing there like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, like, this is happening, like, in the best way possible. And I don't even remember what I said to her, this poor girl, because I was just so shook and, like, you know, in awe that this had happened. So yeah, so anyway, that was kind of the whole story, that she found him because of my podcast, and, you know, it's a small world, gardenerians know each other, and I happen to really know Seamus, and he happens to know me, and the seeker was really surprised that Seamus just hit me up and called me, and yeah, so anyway, that was the story. Thank you for listening to that seeker, if you're listening to me. And if you are looking into the gardenerian tradition and you happen to come across some dude named Seamus and you're trying to seek, you are in luck, because he is freaking awesome, and you guys should train with him if you get the opportunity. Or if not, just get some drinks with him. He's cool too. Anyway, yeah, so that's kind of just where I'm going with that. So to anybody listening to this who, not even gardenerian, but just any Wiccan or any witchy practice in general, if you are getting involved with this because you've heard me talk on this podcast, I really thank you guys so much for spending the time to listen to me ramble. And the fact that I can be part of anybody's journey for that really means so much. And if anybody has any questions at all, or ever just wants to, I don't know, honestly, just talk, you can always hit me up on Twitter at Seek Witchcraft. And, you know, I have responded to literally every single person who has ever sent me a message. So please feel free to ask your questions and bring things up. Okay, so now I've been rambling for 20 minutes. So I'm actually going to start talking about some witchy facts, because I, you know, I should probably talk about witchcraft, except, you know, aside from talking about myself for 20 minutes. So here we go. All right, so I have seen some people talking about casting a circle and some of the etiquette that goes along with that. I think I touched upon this in a previous episode, so some of what I say might be a repeat, but some of it might not be. So so when you're casting a circle, you definitely want to cast it, you know, appropriately. And for some people, that means different things. For some people, that means literally lining their circle with salt or salt water or flowers or shells or whatever. For some people, that means just moving the energy around and just kind of taking a mental note. For some people, that means making their circle a specific diameter. It really means a lot of different things to a lot of people. So you kind of have to figure out what works for you. I have done a ritual where there's no markings on the ground, and I have done my own personal ritual where I've thrown salt in a circle in my own personal practice, or lined a circle with flowers on the ground because I wanted to be extra and it looked really cool. there's a lot of different things you could do that. But one of the things I do want to say about casting a circle, if you are casting a circle and you are in that circle, do not leave the circle just by walking out of it. You absolutely need to open your circle and you need to close your circle. You need to call forth that energy to, you know, be around, and then you need to dismiss it, because it's really freaking rude if you don't. calling a circle is also calling forth, like, energetic barriers between you and the worlds. Because when you're casting a circle, you are getting into a magical place, and you want to make sure that you're protected. And that's the whole point of the circle, is to protect you while you're in there, so that negative entities or, you know, spirits that may be watching or something don't kind of try to penetrate themselves into there. Now, the one thing, or the thing that I'm trying to get at with circles that I see a lot of people asking about, is coming in and out of a circle. So you can absolutely leave a circle after it's been cast while still keeping the circle out. The way you want to do this, though, is that you need to draw a door in the circle, and you need to make sure you come in and out of that specific area. So when you're drawing a door, literally just draw a doorway. And some people like to put something where the doorway is. So let's say you're using a wand, for example. you might want to draw your circle with the wand. That way you can direct your energy. I'm sorry, you might want to draw your door. That way you can direct your energy into opening or to where the door is going to be. And then you might want to put your wand down on the ground so that you know where that door is, so you don't accidentally come through the circle and, you know, burst it, for lack of a better word. After you come back in the door, you do want to close it out. So people have different ways of doing this. I would literally recommend literally draw a door. And then when you come back in, you want to just seal it back up. So undraw the door, I guess you could say. Figure out what works for you. If you're going to be out of the circle for a long time, maybe just close the circle and make another one when you come in. But yeah, once you cast a circle, even if you're going to be leaving that circle just to, like, I don't know, grab a lighter or grab an extra candle that's right outside of the circle, do not break the circle. Like, just for that, draw a door, put in the effort. You know, you do need to respect the energies that are around, and you cast a circle for a reason. You want to do it correctly. Okay, speaking of casting circles and doing rituals and stuff, I've had some people ask about full moons and new moons and things like that, about when they can do it. You don't have to do a new moon or a full moon ritual on the exact day of the full moon, but you should do it within, I would say, about 2 to 3 days of the full moon. So this could be really beneficial too, if, like, it's going to rain or there's going to be inclement weather or it's going to be cloudy, or you already know, like, maybe on that night you're busy and you're not going to be able to do a full moon ritual. Don't feel bad if you can't do it the same night. You absolutely can do a full moon ritual or a new moon ritual a couple days before, a couple days after. It's not the end of the world. The intent's still there. You know, it's not a full moon, but life happens and you got to work with what you got. So yeah, keep that in mind. You can do that whenever you want. In terms of decorating for an altar, a lot of people have also asked about this, like, well, what do you do when you pick up some holly branches for Yule? You literally just put them on your altar and you decorate your altar. You're kind of setting the tone of your altar for either that ritual or just in general, that you're setting the tone and the energy to align with whatever Sabbat that you're trying to celebrate. So it's nothing really more than that. It's just like a cool way to kind of decorate your space and put yourself in that mindset of, if you see a lot of gourds and stuff on your altar, you're going to know, like, maybe that's for Samhain, or maybe it's for one of the other harvest Sabbats or something like that. Let's see, in terms of also other altar tools, I've seen a lot of people asking about the altar tools that they get, if they have to be from a witchy store or they have to be, you know, expensive or anything like that. You guys can honestly use whatever you want for your altar supplies. You don't have to go to a witchy store and buy a $32 white unscented pillar candle. If you have, I don't know, a $3 candle from the dollar store and it smells like strawberries, like, and if you, that's what you have, you can use that. Like, a lot of people will talk about, like, oh, well, you should always use, like, unscented things, and you should always use this and you should always use that. Guys, honestly, use what you have. Like, witchcraft gets really expensive, and if all you have is that strawberry candle, hell, if all you have is a Yankee candle, like that, like one of those little tiny ones that smells like, I don't know, whatever, that's fine too. I'll let you guys in on a secret. For my God and Goddess candles, my personal practice, I use the little tiny Yankee candle candles. And you know what, guys? They smell great, and I'm happy with that. So your candles don't have to be unscented. I see a lot of people will also use things like birthday candles if they're going to try to do a small spell. I think those are great ideas, but, or a great thing to use, but if you're going to use a birthday candle for a small spell, just keep in mind, birthday candles, you can't carve into them if you really want to use. I mean, you can, but it's complicated. But birthday candles also burn really, really quickly. So make sure if you're doing a spell, you kind of have your ducks in a row and you're ready to go, because that candle is going to burn down quick. Okay, the last thing I want to say, because we're almost out of time, is paying for witchcraft. Now, I've talked about this in my coven episode, but I've been seeing a lot of things come up recently, and I think it's because Samhain's around the corner and a lot of people like starting witchy things then, because it's, you know, with it, it's in the season, it's with the times, it's the theme of the month. I see a lot of things about starting these year and a day classes where you have to pay some sort of fee to get into them. Now, My personal opinion is that you should not pay for witchcraft, with the exception of, like, you know, paying for books or paying for supplies or, you know, within reason, or paying for, you know, maybe getting the wine you're going to use, or helping with the candles, which that all kind of goes under the supplies. I don't think that you should pay for witchcraft. And I know in the Gardnerian community, and I'm going to probably say the Alexandrian, and I'm sure actually mostly any lineage tradition or initiatory tradition, it's not common practice to pay or ask people to charge you for witchcraft or to charge for witchcraft. It's generally looked down upon, kind of in the same way of, like, you know, you're not going to pay to be part of the Catholic Church. Yeah, they ask for donations just to help with, you know, running the things, which is totally fine. But they're not going to ask you to give them half their paycheck every time. So I don't think paying for witchcraft is great. I think it kind of just muddles the water. And I don't know, when money is involved with things like that, it's not, in my opinion, the best. But if you live in an area where all you have is this introductory witchcraft course, maybe at your local witchy shop, and they do charge for it, if that's your only option and you feel like, listen, I learn better in a teaching format, then, like, you know, do what works best for you. I would just say that I personally don't like the idea of that, and I don't like the idea of people charging for witchcraft. And I'm kind of against that. So if you go on Groupon, I think they have, like, introductory Wicca courses, originally like $300, now $19.99, like things like that. Like, I don't vibe with that at all. Also, even if you go on Etsy, there's a lot of, like, beginner witchcraft, like, supplies, or, and they'll charge you like $75 or something like that. I think that's a little excessive too. You know, I am Wiccan and this is my religion, and seeing people having to seeing people profit so much off of people who are new and really wanting to get on to this path and, you know, start their new witchy life or new Wiccan path, and having people exploit them, you know, I think that's really messed up. Now, you know, let me rephrase this though, or let me clarify this. Some people do have witchy like businesses. That's totally fine. But listen, if you're charging $80 for, like, a stick of sage, some incense, and like four candles, that's outrageous. Like, I don't like that. I think that's messed up. And I think people are just exploiting people who are trying to get involved in this community. But, you know, if it's reasonably priced, not a big deal. But if you're charging for introductory Wicca classes, I don't fuck with that. I think that's messed up. All right. Well, that's about 30 minutes. Sorry, it's a little over, guys. And I'm sorry, this was kind of just a huge rambling episode, but I hope you enjoy it anyway. I really missed recording episodes, and I'm happy I was able to do this one tonight. I think my next episode might go a little bit more in depth with some of the divination that I talked about. I'm thinking I might do a tarot episode for the next one, just talking a little bit more in depth about it, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't hold me to it if I don't do that. As always, if you have something that you would love for me to talk about, please hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Seek Witchcraft. Oh, and also I made a Facebook page, and the Facebook page is called just Seeking Witchcraft. So you guys can find me on Facebook. It's just a like page because I have a ton of witchy memes and my friends get really sick of me sending them all the fucking time. So I finally found a place that I can just, like, dump all my witchy memes. So if you're looking for some cool things to share or like, or just, I don't know, laugh at, like, hit me up on Facebook as well. You can also send me messages on there too if you don't have a Twitter, because I know not everybody has one. And yeah, so no worries. Hit me up on Facebook. It's at Seeking Witchcraft, or just the word Seeking Witchcraft, or Twitter at Seek Witchcraft. Alrighty. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you very soon. Bye.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.